Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We touched on it briefly. I didn't want Raf to get gloating too early in the show today about this, especially after what happened to England last night. But it was a fantastic night for the USA in the Azteca, getting a point and a clean sheet against Mexico. And a man who's going to tell us all his thoughts on what took place last night, both in the Azteca and in the hexagonal round in general, is Eric Gomez joining us on the line. Eric, how are you doing today, man?
Doing great. Beautiful morning here in Mexico City, although spirits are a little bit down amongst the locals.
I was going to say, have you been wearing a US shirt out and about or anything? Have you been winding, antagonizing people early morning in Mexico City at all?
I value my life, so I'm not doing that.
Well, if you survived the earthquake yesterday, man, we're glad to at least see that you're now going to survive living on in Mexico City after last night. It was a hell of a night, though, for the U.S. men's national team after everything that's gone on before it. How much pressure does this suddenly take, this result, off Jürgen Klinsmann?
It's not just the result against Mexico, which has taken the pressure off Klinsmann. It's the fact that he pulled 4 points off of this, it was a difficult stretch going in, especially with the weather. I think that had the U.S. lost that game against Costa Rica, they would have been the ones protesting the result. Despite that, I think that right now, and I wrote about this yesterday, it was a long night, as you might imagine, and I think that Klinsmann was the guy firmly planted on the CONCACAF hot seat after one game, perhaps, or after, the opening of the hexagonal. And now he's completely stood up and left that seat for Jose Manuel de la Torre, Mexico's manager. Now it's Mexico that's having that pressure build after three games, three draws, two of them at the Estadio Azteca, and the United States is sitting pretty in second. I think it's third place thanks to goal difference, but they're looking up, and I think that spirits are high amongst that team. We saw it yesterday when they walked through the mix zone. There was a little bit of a swagger. They were happy. They seemed to be gelling as a team, and I think that Klinsmann has now found his standard lineup or his base lineup after 25 games. The only two players that we saw sub in against Mexico were Matt Beisler and I believe it was Maurice Adu, and those were thanks to injuries.
Now, we saw last night, really, I thought, Omar Gonzalez stepping up in the heart of that defence and really kind of almost a coming out party for this kid on the international scene. How impressed were you by Omar in such a titanic game for the U.S. men's national team?
Absolutely, and I would say that for Omar, it's kind of a funny thing because the day before the match, there were press roundtables. Omar was one of the most eager guys on the team to kind of draw that media attention to him. This was obviously a game that he had marked down on his calendar. He told us, I love Mexico. I have great feelings for the country. Obviously, my family comes from there. But this is a game that I really want to win. I mean, they were using the word win on Monday, and didn't quite turn out for them that way. But I think that they are very satisfied with that result. Gonzalez was just absolutely class against Javier Hernandez and against Giovanni Dos Santos in a lesser sense. Chicharito was up there by his lonesome. Towards the beginning of the game, we saw a lot of very good offensive displays from Giovanni Dos Santos, from Javier Aquino, from Andres Guardado. But Gonzalez weathered them all. And I think, the general feeling in the press box, I was sitting amidst both American and Mexican colleagues, was that Gonzalez was definitely the most valuable player for the U.S. men's national team in the Estadio Azteca. And if he can continue to deliver performances like this, then that Honduras flub will be just a distant memory very, very soon.
In particular, the defense in general, how was it received by you and fellow journalists out there in the Azteca? Because again, from looking on, this didn't look like an inexperienced defense. It actually looked very organized and reasonably well structured because Mexico did take the game to them a hell of a lot and it weathered the storm.
Yeah, Jürgen Klinsmann was adamant about the fact that the January camp helped him towards this transition in defense, putting Beisler in next to Omar Gonzalez. He said that in January, those two seemed to have gelled quite nicely. They got they had several days to really find their rhythm, to get to know each other. Of course, We saw 11 guys on the pitch last night starting the game for the U.S. men's national team that have or currently belong to the MLS, have MLS experience. So Beisler and Gonzalez are guys that, you know, what, despite the fact that they do not play for the same club, have some knowledge of each other, you know, and they have had that experience in the January camp, and that really paid off for Klinsmann. You could tell that those guys have had communication in the past, that they know each other's tendencies, and they just felt comfortable with themselves in the back. Of course, Mexico played with one striker for the better part of the match. And to be honest, you know, they brought in Omar Bravo, who's 33 years old, for that second striker role, and it didn't really do much for Mexico. I think the guy that could have hurt them towards the end of that game was Angel Reyna, offensive midfielder, cut into the box a couple of times and actually produced that play where Aquino goes down. But going back to Gonzalez and Beisler, I mean, those two gentlemen just did a fantastic job, and I think that they will be considered for future Hex games.
You mentioned now the pressure, of course, on Jose Manuel De La Torre, on the Mexico national manager. And there's been a lot of discussion about the way that he's used Giovanni Dos Santos, who a number of people still feel can be that creative spark for Mexico in that forward line, sitting maybe off Hernandez as the striker. What do you make of the use of Giovanni Dos Santos last night and in general by De La Torre?
I think that we saw Giovanni Dos Santos playing in that natural position in the first half. He did produce a couple of very good plays that could have gone, you know, differently for Mexico. We could have been talking about Mexico opening up the scoreline a couple of times in that first half precisely due to Giovanni Dos Santos's efforts. But I do think that, you know, a lot of these players that are now coming back from Europe have really, you know, I guess I want to say they've lost the ability, or a little bit of that ability, to play in the altitude, and it's becoming just as bothersome to them as it is to the U.S. players. Giovanni Dos Santos, as we might recall, is a player who has never played in Mexico for a club team. He's always been in Europe, Barcelona, Tottenham, Ipswich Town, what have you. And it got to him in the second half, and it was quite clear that he was not able to maintain that rhythm in the second 45 minutes. And he just kind of disappeared behind Chicharito in the second half. Mexico went away from the terrestrial play, from the creative play that we saw in the first half, and they just kind of started banging out these long drawn out balls that were easily cleared by Omar Gonzalez and the rest of the U.S. men's national team defense. And it's just a matter of, you know, Giovanni Dos Santos is such a different player, such a creative player who's going to allow you the tactical flexibility to put him up as a second striker, as a number 10, as a right winger, as a left winger. So the possibilities are nearly endless with Giovanni. It's just a matter of giving him the tools, giving him the possession, and giving him the supporting cast to be able to create that magic the way that we have seen in the past with the men's national team and also now with Mallorca.
Is it now a case of win or bust for Mexico going into match day four away in Panama, especially considering the two draws in the Azteca at home? Do they have to get 3 points out of this next game? Not because they're out of the tournament just at this moment in time, but simply because the Mexican football fans won't tolerate anything less.
I absolutely think so. I think that the next two games against Jamaica and against Panama are going to be critical for Mexico. The fact is, they have 3 points in three matches, and if you look back at 2009, towards that South Africa campaign, Mexico had 3 points in three matches under Sven-Goran Eriksson. They had won against Costa Rica at home, and they had lost against the United States and Honduras away. That cost Eriksson his job. Eriksson was fired after the third match, and now I think that it would be a little bit ridiculous to can Chepo de la Torre after these three matches, knowing full well that he is still undefeated in official tournament matches with Mexico. The only three losses that have really come his way have been through friendlies. So we still have to consider the fact that those next two games are going to mark the halfway point of the hexagonal. And if Mexico doesn't have a win after four matches, I think that right now we're already looking at a Mexican federation that's drafting a plan B for managerial purposes. Unfortunately for them, Javier Aguirre is not available. He's coaching Espanol, and he's doing a really good job of it. So I really don't know who would occupy that seat if Mexico is unable to get a win in their fourth match day. It's going to be tough. It's going to be away from home. Let's see what happens there. I just, you know, at this point, I still don't expect Mexico to change managers in this hexagonal. I do think that Chepo is going to finish the World Cup qualifying campaign and that Mexico is going to be there in Brazil 2014. But as we've come to see in these first three matches, anything is possible.
I mean, Eric, last night, Mexico were the better side in terms of finding attacking movement going forward. They laid on plenty of shots and unable to hit the target with the majority of them, though. I mean, are we talking about just pure arrogant complacency to an extent, without sounding too critical, but are we talking about that sort of arrogance and that complacency in this Mexico side at the moment? Are we thinking there's been too much success in the past that they're still almost living off here in the national team as opposed to the youth teams? Where are the problems? Is it a motivational point of view from De La Torre?
Wow, I mean, I would agree with that. I think that it comes through the coach's attitude. I think that Jose Manuel de la Torre has been very inflexible, tactically speaking. He's refused to adjust. He's very good on the microphone. You know, he's kind of this, you know, this Mexican Jose Mourinho in the way that he handles himself with the press. He's just very tough on their questions, refuses to answer the ones he doesn't like, or gives you these short, blunt answers. But when he does get down to the nitty gritty and he starts to talk about what his coaching philosophy entails, it all sounds very, very good. You know, he's talking about how the United States has these particular capabilities that make them different from Honduras and from Panama, and how they're going to adjust for every match and how they're going to change their strategy in order to help them be successful. But when you really look at it and you analyze what's going on in these three matches, you find the same pattern. Mexico has played with the same formation, excluding the fact that they started with two strikers against Jamaica. That was not possible because Oribe Peralta was injured against for the Honduras and the United States matches. But essentially, it's the same deal: four in the back, two defensive mids, two wingers out wide, Giovanni Dos Santos and Chicharito Hernandez up front. So that allows opposing teams to really study, analyze Mexico, prepare for them, because they know that there's not going to be any surprises. Even it was incredibly funny to read Twitter last night in the Estadio Azteca and to read every single one of those journalists and of those fans predicting what Chepo was going to do with the second half changes. They were absolutely right. I mean, if fans are able to predict that, opposing managers, I mean, you bet they're going to be able to predict that. So it's just a case of whether Mexico is going to find or be brave enough to switch a little bit of their strategy around, try to find that winning formula, because as you noted, they were the better team against the United States, but there was something missing. There was this little lack of creativity, this lack of spark that did not allow Mexico to push forward and to finish the job. Same thing happened with Jamaica. Same thing happened with Honduras.
I don't want to start getting too far ahead of ourselves here, because as I say, we're only going to be heading into match day four come June the 7th. But are there any murmurs about the possibility of Mexico not qualifying for the World Cup? Because as it stands at the moment, they're not even making that playoff spot.
Well, Mexicans, as you might know, we are the cultural descendants of the Aztecs and of the Spaniards. And the Aztecs were just a very fatalistic civilization. They predicted their own doom, and it came true for them, which is a really, really strange thing to look back on in the history books. But I think that the current Mexican culture draws a little bit from the Aztecs as well as the Spaniards, obviously. And there is a little bit of fatalism right now going around in the press, going around in the fan with the fans. We walked out. You have to walk out of Azteca in order to loop around from the press box and go down into the mixed zone. It's a huge, huge stadium. So as we were walking out into the what you would call, I don't know, the vestibule, the big open area where you need to go down into the tunnel, a lot of fans were walking past, going into the parking lot to their cars, and they were already, you know, you could hear them yell out, you know, Fuera Chepo, which means fire Chepo. you were hearing guys going, you know, well, at least I have my Brazil shirt for the World Cup. I mean, seriously, this was really going on. And you could tell that not only were the fans not unhappy, but now there was serious doubt as to whether Mexico is going to be in Brazil 2014. I mean, that obviously things change when you have the morning after to dissect things, to really cool down after you've spent 2-3 hours at the Estadio Azteca booing the U.S. men's national team and the Mexican national team. But it's not time to push the panic button yet for Mexico. They've been in worse spots in the past with Sven Goran Eriksson, with Hugo Sanchez. It's not going to be an issue of if, but rather when Mexico gets their game together.
So what changes would you personally make to you mentioned there needs to be a plan B being formed here, Eric. What do you think plan B should entail? Do we see a complete drastic shift in formation? Do we see a complete drastic shift in technical style of Mexican international football right now? I mean, what do you see being the plan B that gets formed together?
I think Mexico needs to be braver. They need to take a little bit more risks up front. I think that the fact that Mexico plays with two holding mids right now is ridiculous. There's no team in CONCACAF that, offensively speaking, is going to be able to best Mexico's defense on a regular basis or beat you in the middle of the pitch, for that matter. I think that either Jesus Zavala, the Monterrey midfielder, or Carlos Salcido, the former Fulham man, will need to take care of that spot by his lonesome. I think that Mexico either needs to commit to a second forward that's going to help Chicharito and not hinder his performance, as we've seen with Oribe Peralta, or add in another offensive midfielder that's going to take some of the pressure and some of the load off Giovanni Dos Santos. You take a look at Mexico's back line, and there is just absolute class right there, and especially for this United States match. Diego Reyes, the 20-year-old Club America star who's going to be playing for Porto next season, was absolutely fantastic. He frustrated Clint Dempsey. I think that was Clint's weakest game with the U.S. men's national team in a long time, and a lot of that had to do with Diego Reyes. Same with Jozy Altidore. I mean, Klinsmann did make the point that Altidore had played 90 minutes in Costa Rica and was just absolutely exhausted from that game. But still, Diego Reyes and Hector Moreno of Espanyol just did a great job on both those guys. The United States offense, I would say, is, physically speaking, the most dangerous for a team like Mexico, because they're tall, because they're fast, because they're strong, and you don't really see that in the rest of CONCACAF, excluding maybe Honduras. So Mexico's going to need to take the training wheels off of their defensive bike and say, you know what, we're just going to give you one defensive mid for cover, and we're going to be more offensive. We're going to try and get on the board quickly. I mean, right now, for the last six games, Mexico's opening goal, if there was one, has come in an average of the 62nd minute. That's just unacceptable for a team like Mexico, especially playing at the Estadio Azteca. And if you take a look at that friendly against Denmark, Mexico has not played three games in 2013 without a win. They've played four games without a win, and they've scored three goals in those four games. So 210 minutes without a goal at the Azteca. I mean, I could just list a bunch of stats for you, but that's pretty boring, but you get the picture.
I get the picture indeed. Eric, I thought I was downbeat about the England-Montenegro result from last night, but this one is definitely hitting the Mexican football nation very hard indeed. Just finally, before we go, DeMarcus Beasley was obviously in the heart of that midfield for the US men's national team last night. How important do you think his role was, especially from playing for the last few years in Mexico and understanding the game from the attitude of south of the border? Do you think that gives maybe the U.S. advantage, almost having like that insider man?
Yeah, Beasley, who, by the way, played his 99th game with the United States men's national team. He's one away from 100. And if that happens, the U.S. would have 13 players reaching that century mark. And that's the most in international football. So kudos to DeMarcus for that. Well, DeMarcus was used as an emergency left back the same way he was against Costa Rica. And I think that in the first half, he was caught out a few times. Javier Aquino, the Villarreal player, just basically ran him over a couple of times and produced that yellow card that kind of hindered Beasley and had Hercules Gomez come back and help him. But other than that, I think that his performance was absolutely admirable. And in the second half, they went away from that right wing because Beasley was settling down and playing some pretty decent defensive football. Now, it's interesting that you note the fact that Beasley plays in Mexico because, as we all know, Hercules Gomez is there as well, Joe Corona from Tijuana, Edgar Castillo, who is not available for this match. The contingent of Americans that are going down and playing in Mexico right now is growing, and that can only be an advantage for them. They were coy. I mean, that was a question that I posed not just to Hercules and to DeMarcus, but also to Joe and to Clint Dempsey, you know, knowing full well that the enemy is within for a few of these Mexican teams, that you've got Americans not only playing for you, but starring for you, because Beasley is a huge, huge cog in that Puebla machine. Same for Hercules Gomez with Santos. It gives them an unspoken advantage, knowing full well that they know what to expect when they go into Estadio Azteca. They are a little bit more used to the fact that they have to play in these conditions and in the high altitude and the smog. I mean, Beasley plays in Puebla. That's only about, I'd say, 600 or 700 feet less than what you get at the Estadio Azteca. So that's why you saw a guy like Beasley just run it out for 90 minutes and not have to hold his sides at the end of the game. He's used to it. And this is going to benefit the U.S. men's national team in the future because, as we all know, Klinsmann is looking a lot towards Latinos and Mexican-Americans in general. It's only natural that a few of those guys play in Mexico for the Liga MX. And, you know, in 10 or 20 years, it might not even be an issue, the altitude, because you'll have six or seven guys, either who have last names that are either Rodriguez or Gonzalez or Gomez or, you know, who knows, guys like Beasley, who are not necessarily Latinos, who play in Mexico and have flourishing careers there.
It will be very interesting to see how that kind of globalization of world football continues and its impact on the international game. And of course, we saw Argentina struggling with the altitude in La Paz yesterday. People, I don't think, necessarily get how important that is sometimes and how difficult it can be to be playing through those high altitudes that you're not used to. Eric, an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. We've taken up far too much of your time, but we always appreciate the time that you can give us, my man. And it's we look forward to getting you back on as soon as we can. Always enjoy a good football chat with you, mate.
Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure is all ours. Eric Gomez there of Goal.com joining us here on Wednesday's edition of World Football Daily, getting into all things Mexican football and, of course, the fallout from the U.S. men's national team's draw in the Azteca 0-0 last night against Mexico. Raf is a very happy man indeed on the show today. We're going to let him gloat a little bit more after this very quick break here on World Football Daily.